Do sit down, everybody. Lovely to have a bit of changing up today and have Ian leading the service. We can share it. So, I wonder who your heroes were when you were growing up. Who did you look up to as role models? Sometimes people look to sports people, don't they? Or famous people, or teachers, historical figures, or family members. So there's a picture here of my granny, and that's me. Don't I look cute with my little brother? It dates me a bit, doesn't it, that photo? There you go. So my granny was an amazing person. She worked in the Blitz in World War II. After the Blitz, after the bombs had finished, and the all clear was sounded, she would go around in an ambulance with her ambulance driver and go to all the places where they'd been bombed. And before that, she worked in Bethnal Green, and she worked with families in the most terrible situations, and very much, if you think of Call the Midwife, delivering babies to families in real poverty in that area. So she was somebody I looked up to. She had a lot of incredible stories, and her life had been very amazing but very hard. And then I put Winston Churchill here. He was my dad's favourite. My dad absolutely loved Winston Churchill because, of course, he was born in the war, and he was the person really who helped our country to get through World War II. But, you know, these people are human. So they might have done amazing things with their lives, but they certainly also messed up at times. And they did things that they regretted. And they may well have had opinions or attitudes that we don't agree with. We are all the sum of our life experiences, and even as young children, we take on board and believe the things that others around us say to us, or the way that they believe, we copy that, the way they behave, we copy that, don't we? So my granny, although she was a wonderful person in many ways, she had experienced terrible abuse personally by family members, and she'd also seen awful things happen when she was working in Bethnal Green, the way that men treated their wives. So she really didn't like men very much. And this came out a lot. It would come out in what she said, in the way she talked about men, in the way she behaved towards them. And she would have a much more negative attitude towards boys and towards men than towards women. And she was much harder on my brothers than she was on me and my sister. And then we think about Winston Churchill. Obviously, he was a hero in World War II, but we know he had lots of faults and failures too. In World War I, he was the minister who was responsible for that disastrous campaign at Gallipoli. He'd also been brought up in Victorian, born into a wealthy family, very aristocratic, colonial views, very imperialist, and made some awful comments, very racist comments through his life, as well as doing some very positive things. So I think what I was thinking really is that however great our role models are, they're not going to be anything like as good as Jesus. And my suggestion is that he would be a much better role model for us to have. And we've just been celebrating Christmas and the decision that God made to send his only son to earth, to live among us, to be both fully God and fully human. And as we look at the accounts in the Gospels and the way that Jesus lived his life, there is just so much that we can learn from him. And the goal of our Christian faith is to daily become more like Christ. And this isn't something that we do on our own, because God has sent his Holy Spirit to be with us, to live in us, and to empower us. So as we start 2022, I wanted to focus on how we can be living God's love in the year ahead. And in a moment, I'm going to look at some principles from the Living in Love and Faith course that we're now going to be starting later in this spring. But I wanted to start by looking at a couple of verses from our Bible readings today. So the passage from our gospel reading that Francis read is Jesus' prayer for all believers just before his final hours. He said, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus wants us to love others as God loves him. It's a bit of a tricky concept, isn't it? Because Jesus is both the Son of God and part of God himself. So Jesus is praying that we will really understand the depth of the love that God has for each one of us, and that that love will take root in us so much that it will just flow out of us to those around us. We can then show that same love to others. And then the passage from John's first letter again talks about us becoming more Christ-like, living our lives as Jesus did, and loving others the way that he did. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And he goes on to say, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. He uses this image of light and darkness. We know that Jesus came as the light of the world. And when we walk in the light, we can see where we're going, and all our thoughts and all our actions are out in the open. So I'm now going to look at some pastoral principles that have been produced by the Church of England to accompany their Living in Love and Faith course that we're going to be running starting in March now. Because I think these are quite helpful to us as we are thinking through what living God's love might really look like for us. So the first one is acknowledge prejudice. So as I already said just now, we are the sum of our life experiences. And we will take on board subconsciously the things that we saw or experienced, or indeed the things that we didn't see or didn't experience. It's very easy for those things to automatically shape the way that we see and respond to others who have different views from ourselves or who hold different opinions. It's really important, I think, to step back and to take a fresh view and to really acknowledge the prejudices that we have, however inbuilt they are. So thinking about my granny, you know, her distrust of men could easily have been passed on to me, couldn't it? I could have easily grown up being really anxious about men and not trusting them much. I didn't, but I think that was for two reasons. Firstly, because I had a good role model in my own father, and also because I understood, especially as I got older, what had caused her to have those views. But it isn't always the way, is it? There are things that happen to us and we just take that on board and we can have a prejudice without even realising that we've got one. The second thing is speak into silence. There are some subjects we don't find easy to talk about, so we just avoid them, don't we? It's really important to give space to understand other people and to listen to them and to listen to their viewpoints. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's going to be good for us to run the LLF course, to think through some of the challenging issues about relationships and sexuality, but also to discuss, there are so many other things that we need to discuss, so many different and difficult issues in our world. Like last week, we were thinking about the refugee crisis, weren't we? But there's also ongoing racism and sexism or other discrimination that is experienced by so many people. Some of us belong to home groups, and you know, home groups are really key places to have these kinds of discussions. They're places where you can get to know a smaller group of people really well and can be open and real with each other, where people can be safe to talk about the deep feelings that they have, the things that they worry about, but also the things they are not sure about or they have strong feelings about. In a group like that, you can know that what you say will be confidential, and people respect you, even if they disagree with you. If you're not in a group, I would encourage you to join one, because I think they're really good places for us to grow. The third thing is to address ignorance. We generally think that if we've been taught something in the past, then that's right. And you know, as children, we automatically think that everything that our parents tell us is right. And then when we get to being teenagers, we start to question, don't we? Start to work things out for ourselves. And I think as adults, we need to carry on doing that questioning. We need to carry on working out what we think about things. There's a phrase that I think isn't particularly helpful, but is out there, which is about, it talks about taking things as gospel, which I think really means that what it says in the Bible is right beyond question. Well, we know that's not something that we can really say, because the problem is the Bible contradicts itself in lots of different places, and it's always open to human interpretation. So for me, addressing ignorance means listening to other people's perspectives, reading the Bible, chewing it over, praying, talking to God about the different topics, and reading books that other people have written and talking with others so we can wrestle for ourselves and come to our own conclusions. Then there's casting out fear. Creating a safe space where people can be themselves and not fearful about what others think about them or how they'll treat them. When we look at our Bible passage today, we know that if we are loved completely by God, that really helps us. There's a verse in the Bible that says, perfect love casts out fear. The more that we know that we are fully loved by God, then the less we fear what others may think or say about us. Fifthly, admit hypocrisy. It's so important to practice what we preach. Jesus very often challenged the Pharisees, didn't he, in the Bible about this, because they would say one thing, but then they would do another. Or they would criticise Jesus because he wouldn't stick to the letter of the law. He would do what he felt his Father in heaven would want him to do. In his letter, John encourages readers to live as Jesus did. We have a vision statement to be living God's love in our community, in our worship, and in our prayer. This isn't just a statement that we think we ought to love other people and we ought to pray regularly and to worship regularly. Instead, we're actively seeking to do this, to live out our faith, to be those that show God's love to others in word and action. And finally, pay attention to power. I think this is a really interesting one. You may not think that you are a powerful person. In fact, you might not feel very powerful at all. But, you know, we do all exert power in the circles that we move in. And it's something that I've become a lot more aware of since I got ordained. You know, in the church community, people naturally look up to the vicar and they want to hear his or her viewpoint. And this is just not something that I'm used to at all. And it's not something that I find easy. So I need to work on this. I need to recognise where, even without realising it, I might be having power over other people. And I need to be really quick to acknowledge it and careful not to abuse it. So finally, there's this acronym in the LLF course using the word love, and it says this: listen attentively. Open your heart and mind without judgment. Value everyone's perspective. Express empathy. I think this is a really helpful starting point for us as we look to be an ever more welcoming and inclusive church, accepting everybody. We're shortly going to be welcoming in families and children with additional needs and their families. And our hope is that they'll not only come along to our clinics, but they'll come to church activities and hopefully to services at some point. Some of those children's behaviour may make us aware of some subconscious prejudices that we have. I think we may become aware of ignorance that we have about some of the challenges that people experience in their everyday lives, things that we have just never learnt about. Certainly that was my experience when I started working with families like that. Whenever we welcome new people into our churches, it's also really important to recognise that we are in a position of power, because we know how things work around here. We're comfortable with each other and the way that we do things. But, you know, when new people come in, they feel very unsure. They're very worried about doing the wrong thing. They'll be worried about their children doing the wrong thing. So it's really important for us to put them at their ease and to be really welcoming. And I think this is something that we do really, really well at St. James anyway, welcome people. But I think it's an area where we are going to be stretched in the years to come. So as we start 2022, let's be consciously seeking to be those who live like Jesus and love like Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the amazing gift of your Son Jesus to come on earth to be a role model for us. Lord, I pray that you would walk with us as we seek to become more like him, to show the same love that he showed to those around us, to outwork our faith in the way that we live our lives. Amen.